Today on The Breakdown, it's the thing that happened before. $40 million guaranteed. A bit of an overlay, perhaps. I know you like that. And first place is a chunky, hefty, obesity-level payout. $5.3 million. We are a bit of ways away from that, though. This, of course, the WPT Championship at the Wynn that took place in December 2023. About 180-ish players remain, and I think we're going to see some tournament pressure is what we're going to see here, people. Some hardcore tournament laying on of hands. And it's going to be, I don't know. I think it may be heartbreaking. I think it may be sad. And we're going to find out right now on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
It's just a $1.5 million overlay. Come on down to the Wynn for a $1.5 million overlay.
It's more. It's like $2 million because it was 9,800 actually went in for each
$2 million overlay.
Yeah, 3,835 entries. $2 million extra.
So, what are the chances you think that the WPT and the Wynn do that again?
Zero.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, it seems like the WPT is making a reasonable push to compete with the World Series in Las Vegas for like the best series. They're doing long series at the Wynn where they have really big fields, really big tournaments, including this $10,000 essentially buy-in that's supposed to compete with the main event, which is why they guaranteed $40 million. They're like, that's not how much the main event, like the main event gets more than $40 million in the prize pool, but it's not that far off, right? So like, if we can get to that, then we're really starting something where we're competing. By the way, it's a nicer casino. By the way, you'd rather be here, and it's better. You should come to the Wynn instead. It's the new main event.
I mean, I will say this is probably for a 10K. I mean, this is 10,400, but whatever. The second biggest prize in the world, right? Like, first place is the main event's first prize, and then this.
Yeah.
$5.3 million.
Like, absolutely, for sure.
So, yeah, you can see why that would draw people. Of course, the World Series of Poker saw that as a shot across the bow and decided to act on it and counter-program with putting bracelet events in Atlantis at the same time.
Yep.
Right? And that did the trick, basically, and I imagine the WPT really won't be doing this version of this again, right? Because the threat is always there where the World Series is like, go ahead, put anything you want on the calendar. You make it big enough, we will counter-program again. Like, we are going to hurt you. It will cost you millions every time. So if they drop this down to a $25 million guarantee, they're probably fine, and I would expect something like that in the future. And that's probably still pretty good. First place is still going to be, what, like $3 million?
Yeah, it's still good.
Good enough, but it won't have this level of allure.
It'll never. It's just impossible to replicate the World Series of Poker main event. With, I mean, maybe if given decades, you can do it. But like the history, the pageantry, the fucking level of fish that put 10K to play. Like, I don't think the WPT, despite the guarantee, was getting the same level of fish.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No, you have to. It's a completely different thing. They're going to need a narrative that, like, to rival the Chris Moneymaker narrative to have a shot at competing with the main event.
You can't have the Chris Moneymaker narrative anymore. Like, it happened once and then poker exploded and it's not special anymore.
Right, but you could have something which captures the hearts and minds of all the current poker playing public, at least. The people who do go and play the main event, which is a lot of people. It's like 10,000 people, right, play the main event every year.
I guess you have to have somebody who feels like a person that you could beat at poker winning it. That's what it has to be.
It's not just that, though. It's more than that. It's got to capture hearts and minds, you know? It's got to be a very likable person. It's got to hit everything just right. It's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
Especially because poker is not exactly known for its personalities.
Nope.
Like, the personalities of poker are essentially gruff bullies. Not all of them, but mostly.
Yeah, I mean, the personalities were better in 2003 when Moneymaker won. Like, even among the people who were, like, those who were the unattainably skilled players who would not relate to the general public, who would not have invited such a boom.
Yeah.
Right? Those players were still more interesting than the top players now as far as their personality and what they said at the table and shit.
Of course. Yeah, well, it was social, and now it's everything is a giveaway. I can't do anything at all here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Life goes on.
Phil Hemmings still tells you what he's thinking at pretty much every second.
Or at least what he wants the media to think he's thinking so that he can maintain his personality of poker brat.
I mean, but when he talks about the strategy he's going to play against someone who's just like raised and he folds, he's usually telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, like if you watch him play, he really is just waiting and waiting and waiting. Like Antonio three bets him every hand and he just keeps folding, waiting to have aces, you know?
Yeah.
And Antonio just like picks up smallish pots constantly.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, we are in that $40 million world championship.
Yes, we are.
It's exciting times. There's 180 left. We've got to be in the money. Jonathan, let me know what the deal is with the cash.
I am going to grant. Well, at 180th place, the payout is already a relatively nice $29,000.
3X, not bad.
Not too bad, considering we're still 179 places away from first place. The money isn't going to change for any in any real way for a very, very long time, though. We finally hit $42,000 at 120th place. So, you know, we should just be playing our best poker and not thinking about the money at all, really.
And I did not play this or follow it closely, so I'm not really sure what the structure is, but I'm imagining they're trying to mimic the depth of the main event as well, have like a similar level of playability and depth.
Oh, yeah, I don't have a sense of that either. I will say I watched a bunch of the final table of this, and people definitely had playable stacks. Like, yeah. Everyone wasn't crazy short or anything like that, the way it is in some World Series events that are more turbo-y, for example.
Right, but the main event, the average stack at the final table, usually like 80 blinds or something like that, maybe more.
This wasn't like that, but it probably, I'm just, you know, going off my memory here, but it's probably like average stack 40 blinds or something, maybe 45. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good for final table. I don't think I've ever been at a final table where that were the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Let's not worry about it.
Why? Our job is to fucking bring up minutiae that nobody gives a shit about and discuss it as if it matters. We're the Stephen A. Smith of poker. Us combined.
We
equals
are one guy.
One Stephen A. Smith. I mean, that's a lot, right? He's a big personality. It's a lot to fill the shoes of one. So I'll fill the right shoe. You fill the left shoe. We'll do like the kids wearing the trench coat thing and be Stephen A. Smith.
I just feel like I would be a greater percentage of the Stephen A. Smith than you.
As far as how your personality is similar to his? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how abrasive and terrible you
that's
are.
That's not what I was going with. And that's offensive and slanderous to me and perhaps Stephen A.
So you disagree with me that he is abrasive?
He's a big personality.
That's not abrasive. Say. Not abrasive. Anyway, all right, so we got 29K.
Yeah.
This hand was suggested by Zach M. on Discord.
Is that Zach from Bend, perhaps?
I don't know.
Could be, right?
It could be, but I just don't know.
Okay, could not be.
I'd rather not know. Not knowing is part of the joy. It's like not watching a trailer for a movie that you want to see.
For sure.
You know? It's better that way.
I always avoid the trailers for movies I care
don't
about.
Don't watch the trailer. What are you doing?
They're going to show a lot of the great moments. Like, why would you ever want to
You know
not
you're
going to
see
that?
Dune 2?
Right.
Why are you watching the trailer?
Exactly.
You fucking idiot.
Don't do it.
God, you're an idiot.
If you need to be psyched up to watch Dune 2, fine. But you also, I guess some people forget. Some people watch these things and it just doesn't stay in their brain, but I remember all of the big moments from trailers whenever I see a movie and I'm waiting for them to happen and they happen. I'm like, yeah. And the whole crowd laughs at a joke sometimes that was in the trailer, prominently featured. I'm like, I don't understand why they're laughing. We all knew this was coming.
Yeah, I think
exactly right.
I think it's particularly bad for comedies because like the jokes just, if they put many of the best jokes that are PC enough for a trailer in the trailer, then you don't get that same impact.
I agree. It's tough to sell a comedy because you don't want to give away all the best jokes, but you want to have people show up.
Yeah.
It's a weird spot.
Yeah. We don't have to do it. We just Stephen A. Smith our way through poker.
Exactly. I'm the shoe and the boot, and you're like the little toe.
The shoe and the boot?
The boot and the shoe.
Does he wear a shoe on one foot and a boot on the other?
I think he does. He's a big personality.
That's a different way to go about life. It's probably bad for your back and like your knees and stuff to have different footwear on each foot as you go through life, but...
Yeah.
You know, to each their own.
It's a sacrifice one has to make.
Yeah, in order to be special.
Yeah.
In order to be different. Okay.
Okay.
So the players we have are, I don't know their last names, Mark and Ardit. Can you tell me a little bit about Mark and Ardit?
Yeah, it's Mark Mouncey. He is from Canada.
I mean, of course, Mark Mouncey, how could he not be from Canada? Listen to that name.
Great. Well said. No,
seriously, imagine him being from not Canada. You can't.
I can. He could be from England for sure. Coming into this event, Mark Mouncey had about $40,000 on his Hendon.
Really?
Yes.
He's got
even a little less, actually, like 36 because he had a cash after this.
He has like a distinguished pro-ish vibe at the table. It's interesting.
Yeah, I've seen a photo of him and he looked like a pro too. Maybe he's an online dude.
Maybe
he's a cash game, big time cash game player. I don't know.
Maybe he's a big time cash game player because it's like online dudes don't have that live presence that he seems to have.
I got to tell you, all his caches previous to this aren't, I think, exclusively under 1K buy-ins. Like, literally every single one except for this event, He's never cashed in a 1K in his life. Sorry, he's cashed in one 1K in his life.
So like, maybe he's just like a natural as far as table presence is concerned.
Maybe.
Because he really, like, watching him, like, oh, this guy's probably like got millions in his tendon. Just watching how he puts the chips in and stuff.
Yeah, I feel you, dog.
Yeah.
Then it's Ardit is the other player, and it's Kershumi. Ardit. Anyway, so Ardit coming into this event has about 850,000 or so.
All right. So he's at minimum a grinder who plays a lot.
Yeah.
Knows what he's doing, probably.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. Let's get to it. Did you have something else to say? You look.
Yeah, I got that wrong.
Okay.
I read a number wrong on the Hendon, so it's not 850,000. It's like, it's still pretty good though. It's like 650,000. It's not that different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Anyway, 20K, 40K are the blinds.
Yep.
We have no real ICM pressure at this point in the tournament. We're just, tournament life matters because it's a deep, deep structure and it's life-changing money up front, but, you know, we're not trying to ladder up. We shouldn't be.
No way. This is just it's just chip accumulation time.
So this is also part of why I thought maybe Mark was like just a guy who's used to being in these spots, because at this stage, he has over 100 big blinds. He has 110 big blinds, 4.4 million, and he opens queen eight of diamonds under the gun. He's just like, I'm the big stack. I know what I'm fucking doing. Nobody else can touch me. Like, that's pro behavior.
It's one of two things. It's either very pro or very amateur.
Right.
There's not a lot of in between there.
But he min opens, which is also pro behavior.
I agree.
In this spot where he's like, I'm opening every fucking hand. What are you going to do about it? Everybody's scared. I'm not. I'm Joe McKeehan. What are you going to do?
I'm just going to slowly win a lot of pots because what are you guys? It sucks for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, everything about Mark is like, this guy's a pro. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I mean, he really might be.
Yeah. Yeah, but it must be live cash games then, because...
Or online.
But the live presence. The live presence, Jonathan.
Live presence, you know.
Anyway, it folds around to Ardit, who's in the big blind. He's not doing too shabby. He's got 3.3 million.
He's doing great.
Over 75 bigs.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of bigs with a good structure. He's got queen five of hearts. He's going to call.
Okay.
That makes so much sense to me.
I'm completely down with the town.
Which town?
Calcutta.
This is the second time you've mentioned Calcutta today.
That's exactly right. And I did it because I mentioned it once
before. So what's going on with Calcutta? Let's dive a little bit deeper.
They've only heard me mention it once, though, because I was saying the Calcutta, what was it? Serpents, but it was the first. Oh, the Calcutta Cobras would be a good sports team name. Because I think sports teams should be named after snakes, and there aren't any.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge mistake. I don't understand what's going on. Why is there no Seattle Serpents?
The Kraken.
The Cleveland Cobras, it's just sitting there.
A Kraken might be a type of serpent.
It's not.
What is it?
It's like a
if it were part of the animal kingdom, would it be?
It's a Lovecraftian creature. Come on.
Okay, but that doesn't mean it's not a serpent.
Oh, there are no serpents that are Lovecraftian. Can we get back to my point?
No.
the Cleveland baseball team became the Cleveland Guardians when the Cleveland Cobras was sitting right in front of their frickin' face.
They knew that an Ohio team can't pull off a Cobra name. They knew it.
Cobras are
dangerous. They're like, can we please be Guardians? Because I'm not sure if the world will accept this. We're fucking Cleveland. Can we be the Cleveland Beige?
You never know when a Cobra is going to strike. A Guardian is just standing in front of a door, and you probably shouldn't try and get in. It'll be harder. Like, what the hell? Your baseball team doesn't scare me now.
Nobody's scared of a baseball
team. Anyway, that's why Calcutta.
Mark opens with Queen Eight of Diamonds.
Mark Mountsey.
Yeah. Ardit calls with Queen Five of Hearts.
Yes.
220K in the pot.
Okay.
The flop is Deuce of Hearts, Ten of Hearts, 10 of spades. We've got queen eight of diamonds for Mark and Ardit with the queen five of hearts, who has flopped the third nut flush draw.
Okay.
Ardit checks. This is a dry enough board. Mark should absolutely bet.
Of course. We're going to get so many folds.
He bets 55K. I love it. It's a tiny bet.
Yep.
It's exactly right. Mark is a fucking pro. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, that 55K bet against the big blind range specifically feels just right.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Maybe just like the broken clock is hitting all of the...
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
All right. How do you want to proceed as Ardit? Deuce 10-10.
I think we mostly have calls here.
Do you want to raise more if it's 10-deuce-deuce?
Yes, I absolutely do.
But is it that different? Like, we have more 10s than Mark. We should. We see that Mark opened queen 8 suited, but like, we should have a lot of 10s.
The thing is this, though. When we have... like, his 10s are when he has a 10, he's got our 10s in trouble. He doesn't. The only deuce he has is ace deuce.
But he so rarely has a 10, and he so often has a C bet.
That is true. That's fair. That's a really good point, even. I think a raise is not the end of the world here at all. I think it's fine to raise. I'm mostly inclined to call against the under-the-gun opening range when they bet once. We can always raise later if we want to, you know?
Yeah, I get that, but it's also like a queen high flush draw, and like, how about if we just, instead of having to realize equity,
we just win.
Win, like, that's most of the time by making it 175K even?
Yeah, and like I don't even know what he's going to three bet with. Like, I guess he threw it with bluffs, but beyond the bluff, and most of the bluffs will probably have us in trouble anyway, like better hearts, right? So that's fine.
Yeah, if we get three bets, so be. I think we can raise smallish. Like, I kind of like 175, because if he has an overpair, he's not going to fold for a bigger size anyway yet.
Do we even need to raise that much? Let's ask the question.
Like, so you think like 150?
Yeah, 140. Like, if he's got king queen, is he really going to call 140? By the way, this guy's clearly opening all the time. So that's the reason to raise, because his under the gun range is not an under the gun range if he's opening this right here, right? So we've seen that. He's probably opening all constantly. So that's a reason to check raise on this board when we actually have equity of called.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm completely on board because of that.
Okay. Well, Art ends up calling.
Okay. It's super cheap. It can't be that bad.
It's fine. Can't be bad. The pot is now 330K.
Here we go. Strap in, people, and arms and legs inside the cars.
Yep. Turn is the jack of hearts.
Woo! We got there!
Ardent makes a third nut flush. The board is paired. Mark turns a gut shot, but obviously that's dead.
But, you know, from his point of view.
It could win.
That's pretty
although
right.
It's not an ideal spot, right? You know, like when Ardent is already called. It was a very small bet, so Ardent could have just two overs sometimes, I guess. Maybe just a big heart sometimes.
I think so. I think he can have all that.
He can have a deuce, obviously.
Yep, he can have small pairs.
Yep.
Even medium pairs, actually. He can have a lot of pairs.
So Ardit checks.
Okay.
Should Mark continue? I don't think he has a good enough hand to check back for the sake of equity realization.
Right. I agree. Because we did pick up a little bit of equity, he's in the big blind. We can try and fold out a deuce, which is what we'd be attacking here, right?
Fold out a deuce, fold out a hand like, I don't know, ace three of spades. Right, which has two back doors and is probably going to call the flop.
Yeah, yeah, now we'll fold to another bet. I think so. We're basically repping hearts or a 10 when we bet again.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine.
We mostly don't have overpairs. Maybe we have kings races with a heart.
We're usually checking that back.
Usually.
On the 10-10 deuce board when the third heart comes, like, what are we trying to get called by?
Yeah, I mean,
we're checking back.
Yeah, that's the problem with betting is that we narrow our range pretty considerably.
Yeah, our value range.
Yeah.
And especially if we're a guy, by the way, who's been opening a lot, and I assume pushing people around post-flop, that means our value range is very thin, but our bluffing range is probably still very wide.
Yeah.
Very wide indeed. Maybe anything with any heart, any singular heart.
I mean, Mark
gut
should
shots,
have...
straight Mark, draws.
Mark should have a decent amount of unsuited aces with the ace of hearts. Now, I don't know what his range is opening under the gun. I know he opened queen-eight suited. I don't know if that means he's opening ace-nine off or not. It might not, because they're like there's a playability difference at depth.
I would guess he is opening that hand too because he's got some blocker potential there with the ace, but I'm not sure, obviously. And either way. Yeah, so the question is, how many naked ace of hearts can he have here?
Right.
Yeah.
If you give him a more traditional range, him betting again is very scary because he usually has either the second nut flush, the nut flush, or a full house.
I mean, he could just have trip tens and decide to bet.
Yeah, he could have specifically ace 10 suited.
Yeah, he could be trying to deny equity to a heart, or get value out of a worse 10. Both of those are reasonable things to be doing here. You know, you don't want to get raised, but we'll worry about, you know. I mostly check back here when the heart comes in this spot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well, it seems like you kind of argued with yourself there.
Yeah, but I see players do this, absolutely bet, like, trips here, you know.
255 into 330?
Yeah, well, they size up. When they bet, they size up.
Okay.
So that's a reason to check, actually, because you're sizing up when you're betting.
Yeah.
But when you're bluffing, the size up is pretty good. And when you've got strong value, the size up is pretty good.
So maybe that's why you check back with the 10.
That's a good reason to do it.
So Mark bets 255.
Yeah.
And it's not a comfortable spot for Ardit. It's like you're happy that you turned the heart. But obviously, you might not put Mark on any second nut flushes because of the unavailable cards. But maybe he obviously has some of them. He has king 9.
He has king 9 for sure.
And, which would be a straight flush, I think, right? No, it wouldn't. Never mind. He has king 9 and king 8 of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe King 7 of hearts.
Yeah, maybe he's got all the King X of hearts because of how he's opening Queen 8. We don't know.
It's possible.
It's not impossible, yeah.
We can obviously put him on all of the nut flushes.
Of course.
And then we can put him on Jack's full.
Yep.
Hands like that.
Jack 10 as well.
Jack 10 suited.
Probably deuce.
Yep. Yep, so there's a lot of monsters under the bed here.
Yeah, we don't want to lose our minds, but we just made a flush.
Yeah.
We ain't going anywhere.
Right.
This is very straightforward. You know, it's a bigger bet, but that's what happens now. People bet big on the turn.
All right.
We're calling. We're still very deep. It's okay.
Arctic calls.
Yeah. That seems
If you're in Mark's seat and you give yourself time to sit back, put your hand on your chin and think, because he's got a mustache, so it like works a little bit better with the mustache, you know?
Of course.
What is the range you're putting Ardit on?
I think the worst hand that Ardit probably has here, unless we've just been a crazy person for a long time, like really nuts, is like a jack. Like he could have called the flop bet with a jack in his hand because we bet so small. And he turns top pair. And
a jack with a heart, I think. He might just fold a jack without a heart. Like, why would you continue?
If the guy is lighting it up, that's the reason why you continue.
Yeah, I guess.
There's some guys you absolutely continue against. Yeah. Right. But if they're not, you know, Victor Blom.
You could have queen jack with a queen of hearts or something like that. Maybe,
sure.
Maybe that's the worst hand he has.
He could just have a queen jack. Yeah, okay. Maybe you could have jack nine with the nine of hearts, too.
Maybe. But that's about the bottom of the
barrel. Yeah, I think so. Like, if we have two sevens, are we really calling on the jack of hearts turn? Probably not.
No.
Even with the seven of hearts, we probably just fold, right?
No, I don't think so.
We don't need to play a big pot.
No, the jack is a significant blocker, too, to jack, and jack 10. So having that is useful. So I think we're putting on that. Right. He obviously was going to hold on with trip 10s here. He's not folding that yet.
100%.
And then all of his flushes, he's probably just going to check call mode. And I think we can probably get rid of hands like deuce. He's usually going to take an aggressive action on the flop or turn with those. I guess it's possible.
If he thinks we're lighting it up, he may be in check call mode until the river.
Yeah. Hands like deuce and jack 10 and jack and 10-10. Are all hands that Ardit could have because Mark opened under the gun and he could and nobody else called, so flatting is totally reasonable in the normal play with all of those hands.
There's just not that many combos of those hands,
right? So, yeah, I mean, he has some of those hands that are never, ever, ever, ever going to fold that are like super nuts hands, and then he has a decent amount of flushes, a decent amount of trips, and some jacks with hearts.
Yep,
seem right.
Yep.
So it's a pretty strong range.
It is a pretty strong range. When he calls the turn, it's pretty strong.
So we got to be like, I don't know if I want to continue. And if a nine comes, I think I'm checking back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't see any value in betting if a nine comes, really.
Well, we could try and get value out of trip tens.
If we're going to bet really small.
We like could this. Bet, yeah, a medium. We bet like, you know, 40% a pot or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are trip tens really going to fold?
I don't know.
If we've been very active post-flop.
Anyway, let's find out.
Okay.
Nine's not going to come.
Oh.
840K in the pot.
Yep.
River is the ace of clubs.
Okay.
It's an interesting card.
Yeah.
Should Ardit consider leading?
To try and get called by ace X with the ace of hearts?
Yeah, and it's also kind of a block bet.
I think when we lead, the ace may find a fold.
Yeah.
It's too strong.
A fold or a raise.
That would be bad too, right? I think we should absolutely check. And it's fine just to take down the pot as is. And if he wants to bet again, great. You know?
Yep. Ardit checks.
Yep.
Should Mark go for it?
Well, this ace does do a few things for us, right? We can now probably fold out that jack that was holding on.
Well, it shouldn't put us on ace king. It shouldn't think that ace king is going to bet.
Oh, that's a good point. Why would ace king ever bet here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, then that ace isn't so great. We need it to be, like, up against someone who's going to fold because they found more hands that can beat them, as opposed to thinking about the whole story of the hand and realize that we're probably betting ace.
I mean, we could have ace with the ace of hearts. We could have potentially bet that on the turn.
Unlikely, though, right?
Yeah, but it's at least possible. It's more likely than ace king.
We'd bet the river with, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're betting ace king with a heart a lot on the turn, but almost always checking that back on the river, right? Because how do we get value?
And we're definitely, if we somehow have ace, betting it on the river.
If we have it, we're betting it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right. So Ardit checks.
Yeah.
And since Ardit never took an aggressive action, full houses are like a little bit less likely.
Yeah. He might even lead this river sometimes with the full house.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Should Mark go for it or just give up?
if I think Arnett is smart enough to know that I really can't have ace-king, I'm not going to bet ace-king, I think I should give up. I think we should give up. I think he's too strong. Once in a while, we lose to a jack, but we lose to the other stuff a lot more, and it sort of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, a jack came on the turn, right? So it's like not that big of a part of the range.
Sure, sure. But, you know, like, it's there. And I guess even king-queen with a heart could be there, too, which made a straight and probably isn't folding anyway. So why would we try and get that to fold? That sounds like a bad idea.
Well, Mark's going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a breakdown hand. I figured he was going
to go for it. He bets 550.
550 and 840.
Yeah.
So I do know what happens, but if I didn't know what happened, I would say my initial thought would be like, that is not going to get the job done, son. You're going to have to bet a lot more than that to get this very strong range to fold. There's a bunch of this strong range to fold, right?
Yeah.
Unless we're specifically only targeting the jack, and then we don't have to bet this much if we're targeting the jack. We can bet less to get the jack to fold when the ace comes.
Arnett folds.
Yeah, I know. Why?
All right, let's go through it. Good. Let's, for a second, just assume that Arnett has not gleaned that Mark is opening hands like queen eight suited under the gun and thinks he's got like a relatively normal under the gun opening range. And,
good.
And, you know, is a guy who's in the biggest spot of his tournament life ever.
Mark is. Yeah. Right. If he's handed in him or something.
Yeah. Right. With 180 left
yep.
in the second biggest 10K of the year.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. What, like, in most cases, if you just kind of convert this to the main event and think about how tight people play in the main event,
yeah.
Mark fucking has it, right?
I mean, if Mark is an amateur, he has it for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mark has it if he's not an amateur.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're going to find, those guys are trying to find a reasonable amount of bluffs. They're working hard to find those river bluffs, right?
All right.
So they're going to have some of those.
Well, let's do the typical analysis then.
Okay.
And ask, do we beat any of Mark's value? And where are we in our distribution?
Okay.
Those are the two things that we need to answer.
Is Mark value betting king 10 suited on the river?
No. I don't think so.
I'm not sure that he isn't. We can certainly get value out of worst tens when there are a bunch of those because the guy called in the big blind.
But we block it.
Yeah, of course.
I don't.
You think just the third heart is enough to like
I
he's
am,
not going to go for three streets?
I'm checking back king 10 suited.
Yeah?
Yeah. And remember, the size is what the size is. It happened. It's 550
right.
and 840.
Yeah, that's true. We can't change the size.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much to bet if you're going to bet.
Yeah.
Right, with that hand. Because we're targeting the kinds of hands that are not going to like that much.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to want to call like 300K, not 550.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's a fair point. Okay, at 550, I don't know for sure that he's not betting king 10, but I'll grant you it's there's more checks there than bets.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
Okay.
So that's the best trips.
Yep.
Is he betting 8-9 of hearts?
I think he has to.
Yeah. So we beat that.
I think he has to bet all flushes.
Yeah. So he might have like 8-9, 7-8, and 6-7 of hearts.
Yeah.
Maybe 5-6.
Maybe 5-6, maybe 7-9.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a few other squirrely things like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's probably betting all of those, you would think. He doesn't mm-hmm. block trip 10s. They're just better hands. You got to bet some stuff.
Yeah. Also, we can target, you know, like ace-jack with the ace of hearts as something to call us with, by the way, which I guess king 10 can too, but that's...
Hopefully ace-jack with the ace of hearts doesn't feel like turning it into a bluff.
Yes.
Because that's really a pretty good bluffing
that.
Hand.
It really is.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's never beating any value, of course.
But okay, so there are some value combos that we are beating, clearly, even if the guy isn't betting.
Right, but what are tens. The what's on the other side? What are the
combos?
There's
so many, value that we're losing to.
Right.
Clearly.
There's obviously the nut flush and the second nut flush, which as we know, maybe because we're giving Mark the credit of having a more typical under the gun range, we're not going to give him all the king X suited, but he's probably got king 9 suited plus.
Yeah, and like you said, king 8 suited makes sense too.
Yeah. Most people would open king 8 suited.
The good players do anyway, right?
Right.
Especially when they've got all these chips. If he's opening queen 8 suited, we know he's opening king 8 suited, right?
Yeah.
I don't care
so he's got he's got every nut flush that's available.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a lot of king high flush, or he's got three king high flushes. Then he's got jack-jack.
Yep.
He's got 10-10, I guess, if he's betting
sure,
it the
whole
way.
Sure, he's got at least one combo.
He's got jack-10 suited at least.
Yep, that's not too much.
He's got deuce-deuce.
There's two combos of jack-10 suited.
Yeah.
Three combos of deuce-deuce, but he's got that.
Yep, and he might have ace-ace with the ace of hearts, but it's unclear.
Yeah. Could he have ace-10
yeah.
with the ace of hearts? Would he bet that on the turn? Or is he checking?
I think it's
back?
Close. I think it's close.
Yeah.
I think you can feel pretty comfortable betting it, but you don't have to.
Right. You might almost feel like, what am I going to get called by if I bet? Like, yeah. I got this guy completely, except flushes, which I don't, you know, anything worse than mine may find folds here.
Right.
Like, what? And just check back and, yeah.
So that's a maybe. But okay. There's a fair amount of value.
There's a bunch of value. More value that we're losing to than we're beating by a lot. Like a factor of like, what, like 6 or 7x?
Maybe not that high, but a decent amount.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's like a reasonable analysis of that. And it leads to folding might be okay.
If we don't think this guy has many bluffs, we should probably strongly consider folding.
Right. That's, of course, a big caveat.
Yep.
If he doesn't have many bluffs. We know he has queen, eight of diamonds.
Yeah.
Next question. Okay. Where does Ardit fit in his distribution with the queen high flush?
Great question. I love that question. Okay, well, we can have some of these very strong hands ourselves.
We can have the nut flush. We can have the king high flush.
We can have full houses.
And we have every king high flush, obviously.
Yep. Yep, we do. So we have almost all the better hands we have, except for ace-ace. I think you could reasonably say we have all the other.
We
have jack-jack.
I mean, we're supposed to have ace-ace, too, if we're really, like, once everybody else folds and we know we're heads up, we're supposed to flat ace-ace a fair amount in the big
sometimes,
line.
Sure. But that's the only hand that's, like, I imagine we're three betting with any regularity, right?
Yeah.
All the even jacks, I think we're almost always just calling, yeah. Right? When against the under the gun open,
yeah.
Right? So when we're in the big blind specifically. So okay, so we can have some aces, but not, I would say, not that many aces, but everything else we can have fully, right?
Yeah.
We have all the jack tens offsuit as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got deuce deuce. We've got 10-10. There we have 10 deuce suited, but there's two combos of that.
Right, and we didn't ever raise up until now, so it's like we remove a few of those. Like,
I mean, all these super strong hands we can remove some of because we didn't take an aggressive action.
I think
on the flop or the turn,
just the flop mostly for the flushes.
I think okay,
because I think
the full houses, right?
Yeah.
Some of those are going to get raised on flop or turn.
Yes. I think the flushes are only raising the flop. I think once they make the flush on the turn on the paired board, they're probably not going to check raise the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a decent amount of hands that are better than ours that we get here with.
Yep.
We also have all of the weaker flushes.
No
we
doubt.
Have like a ton of combos of weaker flushes that we get here with.
We also get here with a ton of trips.
Yeah.
And now we can ask ourselves, would we rather call with a flush or with trips here?
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't like it's been raised. This guy isn't, you know, this guy isn't saying like, I've got the ultra nuts. He's just went bet, 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 right? He's saying I have a strong hand.
He's saying he has a minimum, we think, a flush.
Yeah, and actually, as we ranged him, we think most of his value is beating us.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal. But we do have trips. And so would we rather call with king 10 or would we rather call with a flush?
I think a flush. I think we can just go pure hand rank here because the 10 doesn't block that much as far as full houses from the under the gun range.
Right. Jack 10 and that's it.
And
right.
Maybe ace 10.
Okay, ace 10. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good to block, but yeah. I mean, having a flush blocks flushes too. So
it really does.
Yeah. You
know? It really does. And actually having the queen of hearts is a pretty good one. That's
yeah.
That's the kind of card an under the gun guy will have when he has a flush.
Yeah. The more I think about this, with all of the flushes that we have, I think when we have the queen high flush, we have to call because we have other flushes that if we really want to fold flushes, we can fold the 7 high flush,
right?
And the 8 high flush.
Exactly. Where we're not really actually blocking very much of his range. But the queen is such a killer blocker.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I mean, the queen blocks, blocks like queen 10 a little bit. But I don't think he's going bet, bet, bet with queen 10 anyway, right?
But I could see how Ardit gets there to the fold if, like, giving him maximum credit, he hand in mark and they were going to be on the same table to start the day, which is what you should do if you make to the second day of anything. You see that his hand in is like 40K or whatever it is, and he's not cashed in anything big. He's opening under the gun in a 10K in by far the biggest tournament spot of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to assume he's got a pretty tight range there.
If this was the first hand of the day and I never played with him, I think this is actually a pretty easy fold. But if we've been playing and we see he's opening a lot and he's active, like quite active, which I assume he is since he opened queen eight suited under the gun, feels like he has, and he does these things and sizes it the way he's sizing it, which by the way, all pro sizings all the way through. Very quickly, I would not give him amateur status. I would just remove that. Also how he looks and all that stuff too. And I just wouldn't think he's overly heavy with value in any of these spots. You know, I would think he's you know, at least balanced, if not leaning bluff when I see him opening so much, because that just works in these 10Ks as you get deeper and deeper, right? People get afraid and fold like Artit did here.
Yep.
And I think, like, we just have to call down with some things. And yeah, we can have better hands. This is a really good hand. This is actually a very strong hand in general. And you don't get these very often. It's Artit may never see a flush again in this tournament, for all I know.
I think he's making a main event exploit fold.
Yeah,
which I get. But right. But it was the wrong time against the wrong player, it seems.
Yeah. Again, if they had just started playing and Artit didn't know anything about him, this is an okay fold if he's hending the guy, especially.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, I get it in that case.
You're sitting there and you're like, he just has Jack 10 or Jack Jack, like, kind of all day.
Yeah, like, I'm imagining, because I've been in these spots many times, you know, sometimes you hand in and you're like, oh, my day two monster stack table, the guy, like, literally the last time I played, the guy in my left had 3 million in earnings, I'm like, fuck. And then sometimes you're like, oh, the guy on my left is not a problem at all. So that's what Artit's thinking going into the day. Like, oh, the guy on my left is not a problem at all. And then he opens under the gun and then takes this line on this board. And you're like, well, if he's not a problem at all, that means I have to fold, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You don't even love calling the turn, really. But you do because he can have a one heart. And then that ace makes it so he's not going to bluff the ace of hearts, right?
Yeah.
It's possible if it's a brick, if it's like a three on the river and he bets, we can give him more. There's more bluffs there now, right? More obvious bluffs. But that ace just removes some certain bluffs too, right?
Yeah.
That some players are going to make. Even some more like non-super pros are going to make, right?
Yeah. So I think this is an interesting hand. Thanks, Zach. Even though it's like pretty straightforward as far as the mechanics of the hand, it's like, it's got all the factors of the tournament and the emotions involved and the assumptions we make about players and the assumptions we make about how players are going to approach certain tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of the things when I have poker coaching clients that they're often trying to like make like these, all these above the rim plays when they're still really need to work on fundamentals.
Right.
And so one of the things I tell people is I don't want you to fold really strong hands. Like, just don't worry about that. Let's worry about this other stuff. Eventually, maybe we can talk about folding a really strong hand in a particular spot. But if you always call with your really strong hands, it's fine. Like, just don't have that be part of your thought process. That's like, that's the easy part. Like, you have a really good hand. It's fine to put a lot of money in. You know, it's okay if you lose sometimes. You're going to lose sometimes.
Assuming you understand relative hand value.
Of course, but with it, even within that, like, oh, I have a flush. It's the three high flush, and there's four spades on the board. Okay, you have to understand that that's not a really strong hand.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I have the flop is king 10-10. I have ace 10. The guy went bet, 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 and or raise the river or something like that. You know, some players you can fold for sure, but if the guy is any good, if the guy is, you know, got any speed or anything, like, we should just hold on a lot, you know, especially in a tournament setting, I think. Again, depending on who your opponent is, blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying, like, overthinking it gets people in trouble, too, which may have happened here.
It may have, but, you know, Artit could also look like a hero, obviously.
I mean, you know, sometimes Artit's going to make this fold, and he's going to be absolutely right because he ran into the right part of the guy's range, and so he gets away from it. Or the guy is the amateur that Artit seems to think he is, and it's just like, yeah, I'm always beat.
You know, it's interesting. As my poker career evolves, I used to make a lot of hero calls, and, you know, I was pretty good at it. I have an understanding of it. I make a lot fewer hero calls now and a lot more hero folds than I used to, as far as, and this is based on, like, playing in a pool of players that I know pretty well.
But, yeah, that's a lot of it.
But, like, it's a lot easier to make a good hero fold than a good hero call, I think. Like players just kind of, like, they show us their strength a little bit easier.
I mean, it's because of the pool that you're playing against are weighted towards value.
Yeah.
Right? If you're up against guys who are weighted towards bluffs, you would be saying the opposite.
Right.
You'd be like, I make hero calls all the time. It's not really that hard, you know, because it would just be working a lot.
Well, there's a few guys in our pool you know of that are like, you call those guys.
No question. But then those guys are relatively easy to play against, right? Because we understand how they're balancing or what their frequencies are.
Yeah.
And how they're imbalanced, really. So I think a lot of that is just player pool specific too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, cool hand.
Yep. Hey, the first time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. 90s baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates, I'm the rapper most.